The only difference between Jesus and me is he's begotten of the Father, in that he's eternal and always has been the Son and always will be the Son. I've been adopted. And in the history of time and world, God stepped in and said, I want you to be my son, like my begotten son.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi, family. Thank you for tuning in to what's going to be a really, really special conversation today in this week's episode of Live Your Best Life with, of course, me, Liz Wright. And in my conversation today, I have the privilege and honor of having an internationally loved and respected prophet joining me for the conversation. He's also a revelatory teacher and an author. His most recent book, you're going to hear a little bit more about in the conversation today, is just, it's full of truth that reframes up our perspective correctly. He's also, it's a super powerful book. You'll hear more about it in a moment. But he's also a spiritual advisor and a mentor to many in the business space, the creative space, the political space. He really is somebody who carries a tremendous amount of passion to see all of us, all walks of life, truly authentically hearing the heart of God and experiencing his love. So it's my joy to welcome into the conversation with me today, Julian Adams. Julian, welcome.
Thank you so much, Liz. What a joy to be here. I am so looking forward to this conversation today.
Yeah, so am I. So am I, especially as just before we jumped on live, we were praying and the presence of the Holy Spirit just began to move. So guys, you be expectant. I encourage you, really, just if you can, let this next 30 odd minutes be you time, where you just focus on listening to what the Lord is saying to you through the conversation, because you're going to be seriously empowered today with truth. So, okay, diving in from the beginning, Julian, I wanted to ask you, like, you really do carry that passion that is the motivation of your life. So obviously, in you traveling the nations and teaching, and you have the passion of the Father that we would authentically hear him and really know his love, really know how valuable we are. The way you honor people and value people is, it's inspirational and it changes people's lives. And so I wanted to ask you, like, where did your journey begin? Because I don't know that. Like, how did you end up having so much passion like this for other people?
You know, I think, Liz, for me, it began, actually, the story started with my parents, really. God met with them in the 70s, in the midst of incredible tragedy. They'd lost a child before me, and mom wasn't able to fall pregnant after that. And God miraculously heard their prayers for another child, and I came along. And there was just something quite unique in that. My mom really was a bit of a, mom and dad, a bit of a couple like hangers saying, God, use this child. And by the time I was three, at the end of my third year, mom and dad prayed for me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I began to speak in tongues. I don't remember a day not speaking in tongues. I don't remember a day not being aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the thing about Holy Spirit is he always leads us to the person of the Father. And there's something so incredible about that revelation. I think one church father described the Holy Spirit as the kiss between the Father and the Son, the sense of intimacy and love. He reveals the love of the Father. And I think for me, that really was my experience. I just do not remember again not being loved by Holy Spirit. And so this dynamic relationship began for me as a young kid. And I discovered what it means to enjoy sonship from that place.
It's just, it oozes out of you, Julian. You know, you are such a secure son of God in your identity and the value. Like I was saying at the beginning, you know, the value that you have for everybody and the honor, it's so naturally flows from you. You know, people feel very seen in your presence, and the relationship you have is clearly so deep and so authentic. Your partnership with the father is so real. It's very inspirational. And I love that. There's a story in your book, actually. It's just, it moved me so much, where you were explaining in the original language how the language used to describe the father who embraces his prodigal son back into his arms and kisses his neck, if I'm quoting you correctly. And then the word for the outpouring of Holy Spirit, it's the same language. It's literally like Father fell on us at Pentecost. I was so moved when I read that.
Absolutely. I think we've only ever seen the Father in terms of our purpose and destiny as being functional.
Yeah.
And God wants to impact our affection. He wants us to not only know that he loves us, but that he actually likes us, loves being with us. And the idea of a father who's deeply affectionate and the idea of us enjoying the affection of the father should be the propelling of our purpose. Otherwise, it's just all works.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that's something that Jesus has brought me back to over and over and over and again, you know, again recently, that the motivating force of our life would be his love, and our desire would be that to express him in every situation. And that releases the ultimate authority in every situation, doesn't it? It's just, and it transforms life. I mean, it's who we are now, and it's the privilege of our partnership, our union, right?
Absolutely. Do you know, Liz, I've been thinking about this a lot, that the idea of Jesus demonstrating love in which he relinquishes power, but actually he demonstrates authority in that moment. So he gives up his right to his life. He gives up the ability to smite his enemies just with one word. And in doing so, demonstrates love and almost, if I could use this very loosely, establishes his authority in that context. And I think sometimes we're so focused on power and position, but there's something about genuine love that lays down your life, that prefers the one in front of you, that actually gives you authority then. Because my friend Sean Bulk makes this great statement. He says, you will never have authority over that which you do not love.
Yeah.
And I think that when you demonstrate love in a way that is giving, in the way that reflects the Father, it gives you authority in every context, including spiritual warfare.
Yeah, 100%. I totally agree. It's like all that Jesus is, so are we now in this world, isn't it? It's that scripture of like, absolutely, Jesus came to reveal the Father and show us who we are. And now we have that tremendous privilege of being able to be in tune with his heart within.
Beautiful.
And then reflecting him. And I do passionately believe that is the primary privilege of our new creation life now, and everything, all the gifts, particularly prophetic, we have that privilege. And I know you teach this around the nations. It's like the prophetic is to reveal ultimately the Father's heart, and people can experience him and be transformed. And that pure stream that comes out of our mouth then contains the power of his love, you know.
Yeah,
that's it's just
absolutely.
Just profound. Okay, I want to dive into Terra Nova, your amazing book. Honestly, I love it. The language, the lens that you enable us to see life through the eyes of the Father's heart, the empowerment in this book is profound. And so I wanted to just quote you, if I may, and then I wanted to ask you some real specific questions around it that I think will help all of us, you know, to just get even more authentic in our supernatural expression. But oh my gosh, honestly, Julian, I read this and I was like, oh my gosh, I need to sit on this for a week. So you say, the webbing together of God, humans, and all creation in justice, fulfillment, and delight is what the Hebrew prophets call shalom. This is by far the most profound explanation of the meaning of shalom I have honestly ever read. So you go on to say, we call it peace in English, but it means far more than mere peace of mind or a ceasefire between enemies. In the Bible, shalom means this is what I thought, oh my gosh, this is our authentic expression. Now you say in the Bible, shalom means universal flourishing, wholeness, and delight. A rich state of affairs in which natural needs are satisfied and natural gifts fruitfully employed. A state of affairs that inspires joyful wonder as its creator and savior opens doors and welcomes the creatures in whom he delights. Shalom, in other words, is the way things ought to be. This is the peace with which the earth will be governed as Jesus, the fulfillment of Israel's prophetic longings, rules and reigns over all. And I just thought, oh my gosh, that encapsulates true, authentic expression, new creation expression life. We have the privilege of being able to release everything, restore, see everything restored right through our authentic partnership with Him. Everyone, everywhere, flourishing, restored back to His original intention. And of course, the foremost primary way is to be able to authentically really hear Him, really hear His heart and release it. So my question to enable us to go there even more effectively, to walk in our authentic ministry life or authentic life, what have you found to be most effective in helping people? Because I know you've done it to thousands and thousands of people now, helped them. How do we authentically hear the heart of God, hear His word for us and His love?
I think one of the things that I love in Matthew chapter 16, there's this moment where this vagabond disciple Peter gets a revelation of Jesus. And he says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus makes this incredible statement. He says, "On this rock of revelation, I will build my church." And the revelation is primarily is Jesus as Son. That the church is not built in structures, or the kingdom is not extended through strategy. It's extended from the place of relationship. My Father in heaven has revealed this to you, and I say to you, you are Peter. I think the two things that really begin to resonate with me as I begin to study that text, the first thing is who God is to you is who He will be through you. In other words, if I have an incorrect revelation of the Father, and many of us understand that we talk about the Father, heart of God, but not many of us understand what kind of Father He is. And the result is we can often misrepresent God. And in doing so, we think there are things that maybe are out of His purpose or out of His will or irredeemable. But the truth is, nothing is irredeemable. Nothing is beyond His purpose being made manifest. Who He is to you is who He'll be through you. The second thing for me that has impacted me, and this is a genuine ongoing revelation that I believe the church is built upon, that the kingdom of God is extended, is that as Jesus is the Son of God, so now we are. The only difference between Jesus and me is He's begotten of the Father in that He's eternal and always has been the Son and always will be the Son. I've been adopted. And in the history of time and world, God stepped in and said, "I want you to be my son, like my begotten son." And reframing my identity around that then means hearing the voice of God is my inheritance. God the Father would be a dysfunctional father if He withheld His voice from me. And so living from that place suddenly has reshaped the way I see everything. And my own experiences, I come from apartheid South Africa. I come from a context where I wasn't afforded education in the same way that most people were afforded education. Nothing in my natural lineage or history sets me up for any kind of success, except that the Father stepped into my story and adopted me. And now has given me all of the same access that Jesus has to Him. I get the same intelligence that the Trinity has. I get the same intimacy that Jesus has in Trinitarian intimacy because I'm seated in Him in that very space and place. So how I view the world around me suddenly is an opportunity for redemption. Suddenly is an opportunity for God's purposes to be made manifest. Suddenly is an opportunity for me to reveal the Father wherever I go. And I think as I've begun to, you know, most prophetic courses that I see, most gifts of the Holy Spirit courses that I see, most discover your talent, anointing, so focused on purpose that we forget the relational dynamic. I think of Hebrews chapter 1 that says, in the past, God spoke to us through the prophets, but right now, in this present moment, he speaks to us through his Son. One translator puts it this way, God's language is sonship. Just like you and I might speak English or French or Dutch, actually God's primary language is sonship. And I think that's been the massive game changer for me. When I teach people on who they are, they get to hear his voice naturally as a byproduct.
I've never heard that before, Julian. That's profound. So we just literally shift into that focus internally, that truth, and that begins to just open us up, open our hearts up, right? Because we step into agreement with the truth of who we actually are now. And I love what you said. You know, he would be a dysfunctional father if he withheld his voice from us. His desire is to be heard by us. So for people who would feel that they're desensitized, they've been through a lot of difficulty in life, they just feel emotionally more shut down, how do you encourage them? Is it just literally positioning yourself into that truth every day?
You know, I think one of the things that I often tell people, and again, this is out of my own journey, my own story, having grown up in a context where because of my severe speech impediment, because of the way I looked as a kid, I was born with a cleft palate, which impacts my ability to speak and my ability to hear, which in the wisdom of God, I think is the most beautiful thing, in that the two things the enemy tried to destroy, God is now empowered to bring about his kingdom in terms of my speech and my ability to hear. But that impacted my identity. I remember at the age of 12, deciding I am not going to cry. I just will not engage this after every single day, going home weeping. And I'm so glad God never leaves us in the place of our own silly decisions. He began to deal with my heart. And I think the big thing for me was learning to renew my mind, learning to change the way I think, because we will always operate out of our revelation. And to the measure of that revelation is the measure of fruitfulness we will really see, because faith operates from that place. And so what you see about yourself, you believe about yourself, and you will manifest in the way that you live. So I began to change that. I think, secondly, I began to redefine who I was in light of new creation reality, who God says I am, but also in the experience of that. I think in the West, we tend to stop short of experience because we think it might lead us astray. But the reality is, truth is always experienced before it can set you free. So Jesus says you will know the truth. That word there is genosko. It means to come to experience of truth. In other words, the experience of truth is what brings us freedom, not just the mental ascent. And so for me, I began to invite Holy Spirit to begin to go to the places of shame, guilt, hurt that have been unrenewed in light of the new creation that I am, and allow him to begin to deal with that. Because the truth is, believing is not enough in many contexts. In fact, I would say in every context, I have to experience what I believe in order to walk in consistent freedom. And so I cannot believe in healing in its fullness until I experience healing, either through me praying for someone who gets healed or myself getting healed. And so I often invite people into a space of allowing Holy Spirit to invade our emotions, to invade the place of our soul, in order to begin to reshape that and to genuinely engage through worship, through encounter, through opening up my imagination, which is, I think, one of the most underrated gifts that God has given the body of Christ, And then engaging in that, because in those moments, I'm not just getting a mental ascent. I'm finally experiencing, enjoying, engaging with my father. And I found even for the most intellectual, even for the most shut down, as we allow ourselves to acknowledge where the pain is and not just leaving it there, but inviting the Holy Spirit to begin to shift it in light of the new creation, everything changes.
It's just beautiful what you've just shared, and you're living proof that this is real, right? When you do this and you invite him through your relationship to come in, like you said, into that place of pain and shift it, you put your life perceived limitations in the context, temporal reactions to life's journey in the context of truth. And then faith begins to ignite, and you begin to step into the experience of the promise. You know, it's because he's real and he's faithful. And like he wants us to experience, like you said, it's not just about believing in, reaching for that to be one day, someday, but actually, yeah, we all need it, right? We want to experience the fullness of our relationship and the authority that we now have and his love for us that sets us on fire and causes us to be free and makes us whole. And yeah, that. I'm sure you guys have been super empowered by that. That's one to listen to over and over and over to just keep us moving forward and growing. Yeah, in our ability to hear him and have that relationship. Okay, there was something else. One of the chapters, I love all of the chapters, but one of the chapters I kept rereading and I was like, it's re recreating your world, which kind of it dovetails beautifully to what you've just said. I want to read another quote you said because you guys are just going to be so empowered by this. Our inward value system, the way we understand heaven and the goodness of God, means that wherever we go, people will walk away from an encounter with us feeling more loved and seen than the moments prior, because this is the culture of heaven, the culture we carry. And I thought, wow, as we are increasingly moving into the experience of greater and greater freedom and understanding of the Father's goodness, our Father's goodness that He's for us. We become more and more convinced of how loved we are, which is so much of what your life story is all about. We are then able to, from a place of authentic connection and experience, we're able to do that for others. So I just thought that's amazing. This is our life now. That's what I kept doing all the way through your book. It's like, yeah, this is our life now. This is amazing because you're languaging it for us. So I wanted to ask you, like, can you unpack that a little bit more for us? Like, what's the cultural value system of heaven what does it look like practically in terms of how we show up? And then we drip God over every person that we meet, literally, and change their life so they're empowered.
Absolutely. You know, I think I'll dive into one of the values that I love about heaven, which is joy and celebration and delight. Like there is, just even within the community of the Trinity, there is perfected delight and joy in one another. And the wonder of the Trinity is that they've invited us into that delight and joy.
I know.
The
It's amazing.
dance of heaven, which is one of the ways people describe the Trinity, that there's this beautiful, delightful dance that's happening. And I think about that in terms of how I engage with difficulties that I might be facing, how I engage with people on a day-to-day level, because I'm so aware of the reality of joy being my strength, of the reality that at the right hand of God are pleasures evermore. There's a delight to engaging that is so overwhelming that it keeps you almost slightly giddy all day because of his kindness. And that even when you're facing difficulty, your natural, the outworking of that is to go, joy is going to be the end product of this difficulty that I'm facing right now. And I think from that perspective, when I'm engaging in my world, I want to bring that in. And one of the key things that I often do is, God, how do you want me to see this delightful person in front of me right now? What are the eyes through which you want me to relate to this person? No matter, you know, I'm a local church pastor. Pastors deal with a lot of mess all the time. When you're working with spaces like Hollywood or politics, there's mess. It's like you see the worst very often. But what if we engage with seeing people from God's preferred future point of view? And as we do, we release joy into that context and call them up into God's preferred future. It changes their worth immediately. They encounter the sense of, I am actually loved by this person in the way that they're communicating with me. It impacts the way I deal with people who are serving me. It impacts the way I deal with the least to the greatest in worldly perspective. And I think that's one of the things that I do. And what I found is that if I can begin to see my world through the lens of joy, it means that nothing ever becomes a limitation. Nothing ever becomes a specific hindrance. It suddenly becomes a platform for the impossibilities of heaven to break in and to redirect and completely redefine the very circumstance I'm in. And so the simple question I ask is, God, where do I find your joy? How do I see the delight of heaven in this context or for this person that's in front of me?
Oh, it's profound. So just to wear that lens all the time, authentically, and getting his heart for each person, each situation. And then there's some other language you used, and I thought, I just love that. This is the value system that ultimately enables us, therefore, to become, as you say, cultural catalysts, cultural ones who transform culture, literally, one heart at a time, one person at a time. Like every situation that you're going into, whether, like you say, whether it's Hollywood or it's politics or it's, it's a homeless person on the street, each person to God's heart has equal value. And then there's so much, it lifts people out of shame, doesn't it? Hopelessness and shame and low self-worth. Because people do, we know, don't we? When somebody believes in us, when they can see good in us and they can see us, we rise, we become empowered to show up in the world differently and then impact the world positively.
One of the things I'm convinced of is that we have become, as the people of God, so preoccupied with the first Adam, the fallen Adam, that we've actually forgotten God's original intent is that we are in Christ Jesus before the foundations of the earth. And people will only operate out of their identity system that
Yeah.
they believe about themselves. You can say loads of other stuff, but ultimately at the core system of what they believe is how they will manifest themselves. And if I can help unlock God's original intent, God's original identity that is in Christ Jesus, for someone, whether they're saved or not, I get to pull out God's purpose for them and lift them into a place where they become with heaven the very co-creators for which we were actually designed to operate in, that we co-create with God, that we get to redefine our world in light of resurrection power and in light of who we now are in Christ Jesus. And so one of the things I often do, whether they're saved or unsaved, I'll say things like, you're a really good man. You're a really amazing person. You've got such incredible worth. Because what I'm pulling on is their in-Christness that God is already predetermined. And if they can just learn to agree with that, firstly, they'll come into the fullness of their new creation and actually walk that out in regeneration. But also, if they are already saved, they then get to discover the incredible potential and power that's in them by way of their new creation.
Just amazing. And through us, through the partnership, Jesus gets his dream.
Exactly.
Everything being restored back
Absolutely.
to the Edenic state, right? It's just amazing the privilege that we all have. And this is for all of us. This is the invitation, isn't it? Just in the few minutes that we have left, Julian, can I ask you to pray for people, whatever is in your spirit from the Lord?
Yeah, of course. Just as you're listening to this, why don't you settle your heart and become aware of heaven, whether it's in your car, in your home, in your workplace. Just be aware of the realm that is both in you and around you. It's as simple as saying, Jesus, your kingdom is here right now. And so, Father, right now, I thank you for your kindness. I thank you for the invitation that we get to partner with you to redeem the earth and make all things new. And I pray right now for revelation to begin to blast off in the hearts, in the imaginations, and in the spirits of people right now. That you would begin to unlock who they really are, the identity of Jesus that is at work in them to renew their mind and for them to become a conduit of that very life. I thank you for shalom, peace that makes everything the way God always intended it to be. I ask you right now, would you invade people with the outrageous peace of heaven, the inexplicable, the illogical peace of heaven. It doesn't make sense, passes understanding, that it will govern their hearts, that they will rule and reign from a place of peace. God, I pray right now that there will be such a deep sense of knowing by your precious Holy Spirit, the one who is the kiss of the Father, to begin to reveal how loved they are for the sake of enjoying you and being about my Father's business. God, would you do that right now? So Holy Spirit, would you fall upon people, even right now, as they're listening, would you fill them with the delight in which you delight in Trinitarian intimacy? Would that be their portion, I pray? In Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow, we agree. We agree. Amen. Amen. When you were praying for us all then, Julian, I saw us all literally walking steadily, strong, filling with light, like shining ones, just filling up with the light of Jesus, and our stature, our height increasing. And then as we walked in absolute peace and joy, filled with light, filled with him, there was new life springing up. It was literally like we were stepping out of winter, coming into the spring, and the spring was following us as we walked. We're life-giving spirits, right? The one who is life, is abundant life, Zoe life, God life, is shining out of our lives. And so I pray that, I agree, Julian, with everything you prayed, and I pray that you will literally become engulfed in this experience throughout this week, that you will be filled to overflowing with the experience of the love of Jesus, and you will flourish. You will flourish. Amen. Oh, Julian, thank you so much for giving us your precious time.
Oh, I loved it. That was wonderful. Gosh, I'm feeling slightly inebriated as we've been talking. The presence of God. I'm like, whoa, I haven't done a podcast like this in a very long time. Wonderful.
I know, me too. Just glorious. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. And guys, thank you for giving us your precious time as well. And I pray you have the best week of your life so far. And we'll see you next week. God bless. 2 years ago, Jesus spoke to me and he said if I would create a space for him, he would come. And what he has done in the last 2 years is absolutely incredible. He birthed what is now known as the International Mentoring Community. Every week, myself, along with other international guest speakers, come on live and they pour in God's love and revelation. There is an activation anointing on my life. And so every single week, as we come together at the feet of Jesus, I have an environment in which I can impart this anointing onto you. He never, ever misses a week with us. He wants to take you into deeper experiences with him than you thought was even possible. So I want to personally invite you now to come and join us and sit at his feet with us.